Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
From the number one Sunday Times best-selling author of Her Majesty's Royal Coven comes the stunning sequel, The Shadow Cabinet. Join the witches of Hebden Bridge for more magic, mayhem, and romance as they take on dangerously sexy warlocks and witchfinders. Available in hardback and audiobook, narrated by Bridgerton star Nicola Coughlan. The Shadow Cabinet, the new novel from Juno Dawson, is out now.
Hello and welcome to So I Got to Thinking, your weekly Sex and the City podcast, where we take the iconic questions of Carrie Bradshaw and apply them to modern life and love. Only we're not doing that at the moment because we are examining season 2 of Unjust Like That in our little bonus episodes. As ever, you are listening to numbers 2 and 3 on the MILF list. It's Juno Dawson and Dylan B. Jones. Dylan, I think you're number 2 and I'm number 3.
But who's number 1? Charlie Craggs.
Charlie Craggs is number 1. Hello, this week we are discussing chapter 3, which is not a placeholder title, as I thought.
Maybe it was, and they just forgot to give it a title. I mean,
it could be. Now TV might be messing with us all. Hello, Dylan. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm feeling a little bit delirious coming off of episode 3.
We've done 3 episodes very quickly. I don't think anybody meant for people to watch Sex and the City in such rapid succession. I'm glad we've taken a break between episode 2 and 3, although not much of a break between episodes 2 and 3. But
yeah, because originally we were planning to do all 3 at once and then split our episodes and do it that way, but I think we actually would have gone insane.
Correct, yes. My little cannoli.
The cream in my cannoli.
Oh dear, there's a lot to discuss. Again, we haven't got a question to answer. And just like that doesn't pose sort of philosophical or feminist issues for us to answer. But we can, because we're all fans of Sex and the City here, so we'll just go through the episode,
yeah,
with our cultural critique as ever.
So and there's plenty to critique, as always.
There is. Although, I will say, before we go in, I think this episode was, I think, the best of the 3.
Yes, for sure. Mm.
Although there are still...
Things.
Including...
Do you know what this... I was trying to put my finger on what this show makes me feel like, and it makes me feel like Latrice Royale in the season 4 Snatch Game. Where she's like... The level of unprofessionalism. And it also makes me feel a bit like listening to the music of Meghan Trainor. It makes me feel angry, but also like oddly energized at the same time.
Listeners, tell us, how doesn't Just Like That make you feel? But you can only tell us through other pop culture references.
You can only tell us via a Netflix comedy pilot in the format of a Netflix comedy pilot with the laughter track.
Oh my god! I mean,
incomprehensible.
Dylan, open your potted synopsis.
Yes, getting ahead of ourselves. So, as I've just said, Che is filming their pilot on the Warner Brothers lot, and Miranda attends and embarrasses herself. And also Miranda's on a bit of a journey of like sort of self-care and self-discovery, I guess, and like working out what she wants to do, really. Carrie is recording the audiobook, a book about grief and losing Big. And we spend some time with her in the recording studio and like the emotions around that. Seema gets her Birkin stolen.
Crime-filled streets of New York.
Yeah, which is a bit of a theme this week. I wonder if like something. I wonder if there was like there's some sort of dialogue in New York that we've missed out on. Like maybe there was a spate of robberies or something, or maybe it's just a random storyline. I don't know.
Because Lizette is also being targeted in a crime.
Lisette is back. Carrie's young neighbor from season one. She's launching a jewelry line, and God, there's a lot going on. Again, Naya is filming a documentary with LTW, or like is doing like an interview, a filmed interview with LTW. And LTW and Charlotte discover there's a MILF list at their school, put together by the kids. Oh, and Brady is having issues in Amsterdam as well. Brady's broken up with his girlfriend.
So yeah, so we have a lot to talk about. Again, if only there were as a friendly voiceover to link all these disparate threads together. Yeah. But alas, there isn't. So we do just have a series of six women experiencing different things. But let's start with Carrie. I did actually find the audiobook scenes quite moving.
Yes, me too. Yeah. I thought it was a really nice way to remind viewers of like the trauma of that. It was quite a smooth, quite a clever, credit where credit's due, like quite a clever way of doing it, I thought.
And also funny, which is what Sex and City always did quite well. If we think back to My Mother Bod, Myself, the other big grief episode, you know, you've got the absurdity of Samantha losing her orgasm sort of offset with Miranda realizing she is going to miss her mum after all.
Yeah.
While being fitted for a bra. And so I think you've got Carrie reliving the trauma of Big dying through the recording of her audiobook, offset with the fact she pretends to have COVID, which is quite genuinely quite funny. Carrie's attempts to avoid doing her audiobook are extreme and amusing.
And Carrie would pretend to have COVID as well.
Like, 100%, because the excuse is right there. Yeah. I cannot pretend it hasn't crossed my mind on occasion as well to say, oh, I've got COVID.
Do you know what? I've never like pulled them up on it because you'd never be able to prove it. But there have been a couple of times where friends have been like, I've got COVID, and I've been like, have you?
Really?
Have you though?
It's right there for the taking, it's COVID. Like, nobody wants it. It's a great excuse. Although the thing is, Ms. Carrie Bradshaw, it's one you have to stick to for 5 to 10 days. It will take you out. I would have loved it if somebody from her publisher had seen her at Lizette's jewellery lodge. I thought you had COVID.
Yeah, I was expecting that to happen, or like Charlotte's there or something. Mm-hmm. That would have been quite funny. But yeah, really touching scenes in the studio. I liked it when they got a bit arty with the editing and like the words. I thought sometimes that stuff can come across hokey, but I thought it was pretty good. And when the shower sounds came in, I was like,
Yeah, quite horrible. And it's interesting how a shower has been made to sound quite chilling. Obviously something so kind of mundane that we hear every single day. But for Carrie, I thought really interesting that she now has this weird sort of memory around the sound of showers running. And as well, it's, you know, I'm not going to name names because it's not for me to sort of out this person. But a few weeks ago, I went into the recording studio to meet Nicola Coughlan as she recorded the audiobook for The Shadow Cabinet, available now in all good bookshops. And at the same time that Nicola was recording my book, there was, let's say, a TV personality who was in the next studio over recording their book. And again, it was a memoir, and it details a lot of things about her mental health and the breakdown of her marriage. And she was in a mess. She'd had to come outside to take a break, and she was very apologetic. She was like, "What must you think of me? I look like a mess." And she said, you know, that in the day before, she'd only managed to get through about one chapter because she was finding it all so triggering.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, kind of. Yeah. And I mean, I did the audiobook for The Gender Games, which is my book of essays, my memoir. And there were bits where I didn't go full Carrie, but I almost had to disassociate. Like, I was very minded that there was some man in the next room over listening to me speak very intimately about my body and my gender transition. And I almost had to be like, imagine you're writing about someone else. You just have to get through this.
Yeah.
It does take hours and hours and hours. You are listening to your own voice being played back in your ear. It is, I know it's
surreal.
It's surreal. And I mean, we're talking about a very, very first world problem here. That kind of like, oh no, I have to record my own audiobook. But I will say, as somebody who has been in that same position as Carrie, where I had to go in there and sort of read details about my mum and dad and my childhood, bizarre. Absolutely bizarre.
It's also almost like the opposite of like good therapy. It's like a psychological nightmare, isn't it? Because it's like if you said to someone like, you have to read your life back to yourself and hear your own voice in your ear, the worst parts of your life. Like, that's like, yeah, that's a lot.
Absolutely. Like being in sort of like a weird cheese dream. Yes.
Yeah.
And I think we did it over three or four days, and it's a long, long day. So I'm one of few people in the world who probably understand what Carrie was going through in that moment. And that is why now, Nicola Coughlan of Derry Girls and Bridgerton, we salute you for doing my audiobooks. Because thanks. I, like Carrie, understand the need to get Julianne Margulies, Julianne Moore, one of the Julianne's.
Both two of my favourite actresses, perhaps my two favourite actresses, actually.
Dylan loves Julianne Moore.
I do love Julianne Moore. In fact, here she is. The listeners can't see, obviously, but...
The Julianne Moore cushion.
A Julianne Moore throw cushion that I got on Redbubble. I made another note about Carrie's recording. Terrible, as we've learned, terrible outfit for recording. She was wearing a dress with, like, festooned with, like, jangly bits and, like, three necklaces. That would have been a problem.
They would have asked her to take that off. Yes, we can hear your blouse, Carrie. We can hear your blouse on mic. Gosh, I didn't clock that. Well spotted, So Carrie, she has a chance meeting with Bitsy Von Muffling.
Yes, Bitsy Von Muffling, who's like banging her nose up against the window like a terrier.
But I do love Bitsy.
Me too.
And I'll say why, because having just got back from New York, the facelift socialite is truly a breed of woman who their natural habitat is New York and West London. Like, if you want to see kind of like a wealthy woman... Although, if Bitsy has had a facelift, I've certainly seen worse facelifts. And again, I like the satellite characters in their life. I like these kind of people who drift in and out of Carrie's orbit, because that's very true. And remember, Manhattan is really small, and the West Village is even smaller. And so I like that Carrie does occasionally run into these kind of recurring Susan Sharon-like characters. Bitsy, and again, we know that she lost Bobby Fine to the COVID, if we remember in season one.
Yeah.
And I also really like that scene where Bitsy, they have that moment of shared experience. They're both bereaved widows. And I like the scene about you'll never fill the hole, but things will grow around the hole.
Yeah. It was quite, I found it quite touching when she said, when Carrie's like, oh, but you're always so up and like out there. And Bitsy's like, sometimes I am, and sometimes I'm just faking it, sister. Like, and admitting that, like, that was quite touching. Yeah, quite another, like, quite nice scene.
I like Bitsy. I like Bitsy a lot. And I think it's right, in the same way that we were critical of how quickly Miranda's alcoholism was just forgotten, I think it's really important that we do touch on the fact that Carrie's partner of 25 years on and off dropped dead in the shower last year. And while we are excited to see her move on and date Franklin or meet Aiden, you know, it's kind of, I think it's right that we can't move on from that grief, because, you know, grief is a lifelong thing. You know, it's with you. Yeah. It's with you forever, kind of. And so Carrie, she tries to fill the hole with shoe shopping.
Yeah. Didn't sit well with me. They're a bit, I mean, I suppose it was written before the depths of the Cozy Lives that we're in now. And I do understand that, like, Carrie, of course, like, Carrie's self-care has always been buying shoes. Mm. But it was a bit better when she couldn't afford to. And all the other ladies were like, what are you doing? You can't afford this. And then she couldn't afford to buy a house because she'd bought so many shoes.
Yeah.
But, like, bundling in with all those bags from Bergdorf's, while, like, most of the viewers of this show are, like, sat at home. I don't know. And it would have been fine having her do that as long as, like, someone had referenced, like, oh, that's so excessive, Carrie, or something. Mm. And she'd been like, I know it's excessive, but it's myself. But, like, I don't know. It just, the optics.
I mean, this is my big criticism. Actually, no, it's not a criticism, but it's why I can't love And Just Like That as much as I love Sex and the City. And that is because we have left the real world. And I know, yeah. I know what Michael Patrick King would say. He would say that in difficult times, it's okay to be aspirational and it's okay to have the fantasy. And, you know, let's not forget that last year, Big left Natasha $1 million in his will. So what do we think he has left Carrie? You know, kind of millions and millions of dollars, including whatever they sold, Seema sold their property for, which in Manhattan would have, what, been $18-19 million or something? Yeah. So Carrie is minted. We know she's minted, buying dozens of pairs of shoes at, what, $500 a pop. Not even going to scratch the surface. And we know this. We know, but it, for me, that choice to move all four of the women, if we include Samantha, to move all four of them into millionaire territory, it took away part of the realism of the show.
Yeah. Like, and it's a bit of a missed opportunity. Like, I was thinking with Lisette, they don't really touch on, like, her having money or not having money. I feel like she's, like, from privilege, that she's living in a gorgeous apartment,
right?
Someone who's in, what, in their early 20s, she's living in a gorgeous apartment by herself. And she's just sort of managed to start this jewelry line, so presumably she's minted as well. Like, it would have been interesting if she'd been like to Carrie, like, oh, can I borrow some money or something? Like, I don't know, like, just something about that would have been interesting.
So I've just got back from New York. I was speaking to some of the young women who work at my publishing house, and one of them, well, none of them now live in Manhattan. They all live in kind of Greenpoint or Bushwick or Queens. One of them did used to live in Manhattan, but she was sharing with four other girls in a windowless center apartment. So they were in the center of a block. They didn't have any external windows. I'm not even sure that's legal in the UK. I don't think you can call it a dwelling if there aren't windows. So, you know, Lisette's experience as a woman in her 20s in Manhattan is wild. And we know she used to be a model. Maybe she was a very successful model. I don't know. But, but, you know, I know that was their argument last time. I remember when the films came out. So the films came out, Sex and the City 1 came out in 2008, when we were in the middle of the financial crash. Mm. And they were like, no, people want escapism. People want to remember what... And I was like...
And,
So, you know, Sex and the City once in the original 6-year run touched on Carrie's money trouble in the Ring-a-Ding episode where Charlotte gives Carrie her engagement ring.
Yeah.
Other than that, we never really talked about money. So I think that that is a choice. It is a choice that they've decided that money is not an issue for these women. And you know what, Dylan, you're not going to want to hear this, but there is a ring of truth to it, because even in a cost of living crisis, shall I tell you who stays rich?
Oh, the rich. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we're not dealing entirely in fantasy. You know, these women will weather a recession because rich people always do. So, shall we have a short break and then recap with the rest of them? Okay, stay tuned. Yeah. We have another 5 women, including some quite questionable behaviour from Charlotte and LTW. We'll be with you for some child grooming.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hello, and welcome back to So I Got to Thinking. These are our And Just Like That specials, and this week we're discussing episode 3, chapter 3. In the end, Carrie does get COVID.
And just like that,
I got COVID. Thankfully, Carrie does get through it. She records chapter 3. It's all good. She gets through it.
That final voiceover line, Chris was like in the other room while I was watching it, and I just heard him like bark from the bedroom. Like, what on earth is this show?
Although, I mean, again, I will say this.
It made me laugh.
Yeah, I spent 18 months of the pandemic absolutely terrified I was going to get COVID. And then Max and I went to see the movie X, the horror film directed by Ty West, and I got COVID. So just as my life was getting back to normal and I had kind of adjusted to being out in public, I too got COVID. I like that Carrie gets it. You never know.
Never know when she's going to get you.
Yeah. Carrie gets it from a charming Australian rugby player. seems about right.
And I liked the sort of like cheeky hint. There was a sort of cheeky hint that like, oh, what did she do to get COVID? Was it just like talking to him or like, did they fuck or whatever?
She got it from his penis. That's how you can get it, kids.
It's an STI.
What if it was all this time? If only it was, we probably wouldn't have had to stay inside. It would have been fine.
Yeah.
Let's discuss the MILF list. Because, yes. Ooh, there's a lot to unpack here. If there is a feminist issue to unpack.
So the head teacher at LTW and Charlotte's Kids School.
The Arbor Academy, yeah.
The Arbor Academy. Played by Tim Bagley, who's very funny, who is gay and always plays gay roles.
He, I didn't know him.
Yeah, he pops up in like Will and Grace. He's like Will's friend in Will and Grace. He's in Grace and Frankie. He's like a comedic actor and does like stand up in LA and stuff.
Yeah.
He's like really charming and really nice.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he says the kids have made a MILF list. I'm really relieved they didn't have a character saying, what does MILF mean? And then another one saying, it means mum's I'd like. I'm really glad that they...
That would have been a Charlotte line. It means mothers I'd like to fuck.
As Demi Lovato would say.
Sorry, not sorry.
But yeah, like, so the writers have grown since season one. The fact that they trusted us to know what MILF means, at least, was good.
I think every writer's been given a little memo to find the fun. Like, even if we're doing the heavy issues, racism, gender, please can we find the fun? And I think that was very evident in the lunch scene with Carrie, Charlotte, Naya and Lisa, where...
LTW.
LTW.
Lisa. Oh, she is Lisa, yeah.
Lisa Todd Wexley. She's not called LTW, Dylan.
I got confused between Lisa and Lisette, and I thought you thought it was... Oh, yeah, too many characters.
Too many characters. Yeah, all seven of them now. Eight, if we include Che as well. They are having lunch, and they are joking. Charlotte is like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Our lunch is normally much more sort of elevated than this, and Carrie's like, really? And Naya just say, well, maybe we should discuss democracy or abortion rights, but then actually she's just more excited about the fact the very handsome sound engineer has messaged her.
Yeah.
Rightly.
I did really like the tone of that. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like I was like, this is the tone it should always have been.
Mm-hmm.
Like referencing like political correct stuff and acknowledging it, but then like saying like, these are still like fun women who are, you know, we're having a fun time.
Because that's real life. I mean, I think, Enan, we know, as women, we know that things are perilous, more perilous than they have been in a long time. And, you know, again, having just got back from America, you know, women there are, I would say, shell-shocked by what has happened with Roe versus Wade. I think there is a real sort of fear, like going into an election year next year, which, let's be perfectly honest, Donald Trump could win. Like, that is a reality, and I think everyone knows what the reality is. Everybody knows that they're in a very perilous position, but at the same time, you've got to live your life, and you know that is how you get through it with your girlfriends, which is you understand that, you know, that we are ready for a fight and that we are ready for kind of to fight for our rights. But at the same time, you know, you have to live your life, because that's what these fundamentalist right wingers, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to stop women living their lives. And so the best way to fight is to live your life.
Yeah, for sure. And it's that old, like, it's such a cliche, but like, if you don't like, you cry.
Mm-hmm. However, the MILF list poses some feminist questions, which is, Lisa and Charlotte are both delighted to be in positions 2 and 3. And I don't think we ever got to meet who number one was.
I wanted to see her. I wanted it to be like, oh, do you know what would have been amazing? Like a cameo from Jennifer Coolidge.
I was just about to say, it should have been Jennifer Coolidge in her Stifler's mom, iconic role.
Yeah, she like sweeps around the corner
with her handbags.
With her,
I cut up my bedspread for this.
But yes, so then they like perv on this
child.
What, so is this middle school? Like, how old are the children?
So if you think that Rock and, if this is Rock and Lily's
school, so it's high school.
So it's got to be a high school.
Okay, so but that means he's maximum, because American kids leave high school at 17, so he's maximum 17.
I mean, yes, they've cast like a 21-year-old model to play this person.
Yeah.
But that scene is not okay. Let's be very, very... And I would like to say, so this is, you know, an old Kathleen Moran staple, but let's imagine this is reversed. Let's imagine this was the dad's perving after a 17-year-old girl.
I was thinking the same. Or I was thinking, what if it was like gay men, like looking at that, like a lot of viewers would see as like shocking and pervy and horrible, but because it's women, it's fine.
Yeah, like I heard a conversation a while back about sort of people reevaluating Queer as Folk, like 25 years on, kind of, and you're sort of like, oh yeah, Nathan is 15. And so, but still, I think, I don't want to sound like a Gen Z person on the internet, but I felt the scene was tone deaf. because there was a way of doing that where you still had the sort of the kid walking down the corridor, but the women were more like, oh my God, like kind of like, what's wrong with me?
I can't believe
I feel unclean. And the mole have to go home and like rock in the shower because they've had impure thoughts about like a high school.
A minor. Rather than them all just being like, oh my God, he's hot. Like,
and then as well, the fact they very quickly leapt to his defense in the assembly, because that's a problem. I think actually, so what that student does is what they call part of the rape culture pyramid. Mm. Whereby, you know, the very top of the pyramid, the very most extreme behavior is rape. But underneath it, there are a lot of cultural issues kind of holding up rape. And one of them is the objectification of women, this notion that women are there for the delectation of men, that, you know, that they women are a commodity which men are entitled to. And within that pyramid is locker room talk, banter, catcalling, groping, because it all feeds into a culture where women are a commodity for men. And I think that what that high schooler has done, like ranking women, obviously it's not at the sharp end of the pyramid, but if that kid was in my class, I would have had a really serious conversation about, you know, these are, you know, parents of our school, they're governors, they're teachers, they are not there for you to kind of, like, they're not there for you to rank and list and share with your friends. You know, they are, you know, part of our school community.
Mm.
And while I appreciate that the show this season is trying to find the fun, actually, the fact that Charlotte, Lisa, and the women kind of become giggling, I'm number two, is a bit depressing, actually. I was been a bit, because Lily goes to that school. Lily might be in that kid's class. And if she's on a list, then so is Lily, you know.
Yeah, then there will be a students list.
Of course there is.
I was half expecting Charlotte to find, like, a DILF list in Lily's bedside drawer or something. But it's certainly not the... if I were one of the writers on the show and I'd been told to find the fun, that is not the storyline I would have chosen. I mean, apart from anything else, I didn't really find it that funny. I didn't laugh. Mm. I don't know.
Tricky. I mean, it's a funny one. I wonder how the writer's room went for that one. I wonder if somebody did say, they're perving on a 17-year-old boy. They're perving on, like, a teenage boy.
They do have, like, Elisa does say, why do I feel like Blanche DuBois?
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of like an acknowledgement, like, oh, we're too old to be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Odd. All very odd.
Odd. Let's move on.
I like that Naya and LTW have been brought together.
Yay!
I really liked their scene together. Yeah, nice to see like two new characters and also two black characters having like a really natural organic scene together. That was good, I thought.
Yeah. Moving past the Bechdel territory into the women of color Bechdel territory,
yeah.
Where two black women talking about something other than men for a little bit before they started talking about men.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, I will say, Naya, no sound engineer should be reaching down your top ever.
Oh, yeah.
That I was would gonna never ask what... happen. You would be asked to fish it out yourself.
He did ask, though, but then...
They just wouldn't do it. In this economy.
Yeah. I did think that. I was like, would he be doing that? Yeah.
Never in a million years. I want to leave plenty of time to talk about Che's pilot, please.
Yes, okay.
Because what the fuck? What the fuck is this fucking show that they are in?
So they said Netflix, right? They did say a Netflix comedy at some point.
Well, they had a Netflix pilot, so their stand-up was filmed for Netflix.
Oh, I see. Because
this might not be.
Because I was like, what Netflix show has a laughter track for a start? Mm. And like, what is happening?
So once again, Tony Danza is back.
Yes.
It seems that we're dealing with Tony Danza. It feels that we're dealing with some kind of sitcom about a non-binary person's life. We are filming the episode where Che comes out to their dad as non-binary. Clearly, Che is not enjoying the experience of this pilot with the ton of they, them jokes. It does not look good.
I quite liked the meta-ness of when Che and Miranda were rehearsing the lines. Mm-hmm. Che talking about the scene where they didn't want to cry because it makes non-binary seem shit. Mm-hmm. And then they cry.
Yeah.
And just like that. And I kind of liked the meta-ness of that. But...
I mean, it's all building up. We all knew where it was going because they kept talking about Miranda's phone. And I was like, oh, no, I think I see what's going to happen here. Is this episode, does Miranda get a tattoo in this one as well? Or are my episodes blending into one blob?
No, it is the tattoo one. She thinks about getting one, but then doesn't.
No,
but
she gets MH. She has MH tattooed on her wrist.
Is she?
Yeah, because when she gets home, she's looking at her MH, her Miranda Ross tattoo.
You don't actually see her getting it, though.
No, it's just on her wrist, yeah.
Yeah, and she gets life advice from the magical...
The amazing tattoo man, yeah. So again, we're still dealing with Cynthia Nixon's journey of acting discovery.
Yes.
Another reference to her in AA meeting as well.
Yeah.
The scene where her phone goes off during the pilot taping is mortifying.
Yeah, but that was very good. Excruciating stuff.
Like, cringe. Like, almost as cringe as the Naya hair scene in season one. Like, lest we forget the...
I liked the little line about when she's talking to Carrie about commitment. And she says, I can't even pick a background for my phone. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a nice little line. I also have got in my notes that Sara Ramirez and Cynthia Nixon have very good chemistry. I think they do.
Yes. Yeah, I think they bounce well off each other. It's very difficult because then just as you think you might be sympathetic towards Che, we get a line like, you ruined the family scene. Which is like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, and then Che just like doesn't understand. Like, I mean, I have never had kids and don't interact with kids very much, but I know that like when something is concerning someone's kid, like that is the number one priority above everything else, for sure.
And although maybe we can forgive Che because Miranda has, I think, been running away from her family life, like both physically and emotionally, that she's literally left Steve and Brady. And I hope this is picked up on. I mean, we know from the trailer at some point Steve is going to come back. It feels like Miranda is pretending Steve doesn't exist. Like, he's so out of sight, out of mind. And it was slightly true of Brady as well. It was convenient for Miranda that Brady went off to Europe, leaving her to go on this voyage of self-discovery. And I wonder if part of the plotline this season, and I really hope so, is that you can't run away from yourself. You know, you can you can put an entire landmass between New York and LA, but you can't run away from who you are, and you can't run away from your past. And part of Miranda's past is Brady. And it's really, it's interesting that Che brushes off her life as well. I think it would suit Che that Miranda doesn't have a background, that she doesn't have a history.
Yeah.
And I wonder if this is going to be the end of their relationship, which is that Che isn't going to understand that Miranda comes with a son and with a past. And
yeah,
perhaps Che is so busy, or perhaps Che has so much work to do on themselves that they have not got space to also deal with Miranda's trauma as well. And I wonder if that's where it might be heading. How does that scene end? How do we leave Che and Miranda?
So they have the fight outside the studio with the person holding the umbrella, which was quite funny.
Yeah.
Like the sunshade umbrella. And then when we next see Miranda, she's back in New York.
Hooray!
Thank God. Thank God. Yeah. I was like, if she doesn't get back to New York this episode, I'm going to be annoyed.
Write an angry letter. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, because her absence was becoming conspicuous when they were like at dinner and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that leaves us with just Seema and her handbag to discuss.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was Anthony even in this episode? Did Anthony have a week off?
They have a brief... he is, because it annoyed me. I put it in my notes. He and Seema have a brief...
lunch and just talk about gay shit again.
And he just makes another joke about, oh, being handcuffed up to a bed by a trick. It's starting to offend me.
Yes, I'd be mortified. Like, yes.
It's starting to offend me. But, like, I mean, I'm not the first person to be offended by this show, so by no means am I special. But, like, fucking hell. Like, come on, guys.
It's like if they had a trans woman coming in and every time you saw her she was just like injecting her ass.
Yeah, kind of
like, oh, don't mind me, just taking my hormones. Oh, my can't wait to have my GRS.
Like listening to Kim Petras.
it's a lot. Like is one of the most sort of stereotypical representations of a gay man. But then is that, you know, I'm sort of mindful of kind of, are they sort of trying to, like, is that what they're saying? That, you know, you're allowed to see a gay man be gay? You know, kind of...
But I don't know, but we're past that. Like, we're past that. But, I mean, I suppose, to give them the benefit of the doubt, Anthony is the only gay character now for reasons that were beyond their control.
Yeah.
And that is Anthony's character. Like, he's always been like that. So I suppose they were just like, we'll just keep his character the same. I don't know.
But doesn't he have any sort of feelings about splitting up with Stanford? Or, is his business something managing? You know, people of an LGBT background have full and diverse lives.
Yeah.
In a way, I almost wish one of the women characters would be like, but how are you? You know,
yeah,
like, how like, are you? Kind of,
are you okay?
Are you okay?
Yeah.
But Seema gets her bag nicked.
Yeah, Seema. I mean, like, some camp scenes came out of this. I also thought it's very clever product placement. Like, it's... because it was reminiscent of when Carrie's Manolos get stolen way back in, season 3?
Yeah.
And it made me think it's very clever because it's not only is it product placement, but it's this product is so amazing that people are going to literally fucking steal it off you in the street. Mm-hmm. That's how amazing it is.
Although, was it, Dylan? Because, of course, her robber threw it away. He didn't recognise a Birkin when he saw one.
That's true. And then... her lighting her cigarette with her gun lighter, Cam. That was very Cam.
Yeah. And Paul Lizette gets all her jewellery nicked. I was so confused by that. Why wasn't there security? Or was it like the security who nicked it?
I thought that was very implausible that would have been allowed to happen. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I feel like in the UK, if that had happened in London, like, that guy would have been jumped by, like, just someone, just a guest. Like, that would not have been allowed.
Like, even in Selfridges, you can't go into the Gucci concession. There is a guard on the Gucci concession. Yeah. So I just don't believe there wouldn't have been a security Because didn't they mention it was a Bulgari event as well?
Yeah,
sure, there's no security at a Bulgari event, right?
I think Lisette's outfit at that event was my favourite fashion moment of the episode.
She did look stunning, but then
yeah,
she's a 5'11" model, so that's yeah, who clothes are made for. So
yeah, true. Mm. And yeah, that was,
did we learn anything from this episode? No.
I learned that it's slightly better when Michael Patrick King doesn't write it.
Yeah. yeah, I think it was an improvement. Again, perhaps helped. I wish they didn't keep launching one and two together, because it means they sort of form a 90-minute blob. The first two episodes kind of feel like they've run into each other. So maybe this one benefited from being a standalone episode as well. Yeah, it's funny. My group chats have not been positive about And Just Like That for these last 2 weeks. What do we think, listeners? What do we think? So we are the embattled Sex and the City fans of old. We love Sex and City. Of course we're gonna watch And Just Like That.
Yeah.
What do we think? Is it nice to have the characters back? Or do we wish they hadn't bothered? And there's the question on all our
That's
lips.
Our question. Do we wish they hadn't bothered is our question for this week.
Or are we just glad to see them back? Again, I'll say this. When I realised there was a new episode dropping on Thursday, I was very excited to watch it.
Me too. And you know what? I was sad when I paused episode 3, which I just watched, and saw that it only had 5 minutes left. I was like, oh, I could watch this for a bit longer.
Yeah. I do look forward to it, and I will be looking forward to next Thursday as well. And as ever, join us next Tuesday when we will be discussing episode 4 as well.
Yeah.
Okay, Dylan. That's all the time we have. Thank you very, very much. If you have enjoyed this podcast, like, review and subscribe and follow us at SIGTT Podcast. And we'll see you next Tuesday. Bye.
Bye.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.